In the December 2nd, 2012 show, we said that all the puzzle pieces were in place. Popper, Bernal, Hirschman, Polanyi, and Hopkins and Wallerstein, concluding that we the people have to reappropriate the powers now ceded to the economy and the state. That we needed these puzzle pieces because power stands in false light. Today we're considering when that magician's trick first happens in the life of an individual. Because it is by enough individuals getting big that we inspire enough others such that the reappropriation tips into serious numbers. I mean, that's the point. That's what I want to say when I hear folks like Peter Dale Scott, as we did as I came in today. How does your plan, if you have one, get us to serious number? It is by speaking the truly unspoken thoughts, the ones that explain how all of our souls were made small by intent, crafted that way by the way the system is set up. That's what it's for. In the opening of Revealing Division, I quote Samuel Butler, who in his novel, The Way of All Flesh, wrote of a thing so easily to be found that it took a highly educated scholar like himself to be unable to find it. Now that's funny, but it's also a profound truth. But power is now fully exposed. The philosopher king has no clothes. And so the next question is, what do we want? And how do we get it? I believe we're now at the point where we can answer this question. There is a crooked road, a wrong road in the life of the individual, and a crooked road, a wrong road in the story of humankind. In the one, the road of ignoring our child's happiness by our own submission to and by our imposition on them of the requirement of obedience. And in our story as humans, by not choosing for our devotion the realization of each other's happiness, that realignment of our allegiance. On Tuesday, I listened to a man, a quite compassionate man, who cares about children, try to convince parents that they shouldn't be laying down the law with their children, that they shouldn't make their relationship with their children be about instilling discipline or obedience. I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop, but it never did. It was like Alice Miller without the grit. Her analysis of steel that drove the point home like Bentham did, it never made an appearance. He did give parents this to consider. I paraphrase, even if your child succeeds in monetary terms, he or she may not, in terms of any larger definition of success that considers the whole person. What this meant is that the state will reward him or her, but the child will lose himself. The child will lose her happiness. What he couldn't explain, because if he did, he wouldn't be on the airwaves. Is that the whole productivity service to the state mindset is deeply ingrained, conditioned in us by all social institutions. He couldn't bring in leisure as the point of life, our birthright. He couldn't say that the artificial pressure of necessity is systematically placed on us to compel our obedience. And and that instead of a life of relaxation, we're propelled almost at birth into a life of ever-vigilance as we ask ourselves the question, am I being productive enough? A life of ruling our bodies as the state. Our parents ruled us. So we couldn't bring in freedom and our right to it. And we have to understand that Power's plan is a global installation of internalized discipline, and that they intend to have no alternatives presented to their way of seeing. So those babies safe in their mother's arms in Sudan, in Syria, in Mali, in Yemen, in some sense, are the target, as generalized global insecurity is their aim. How else could we be effectively contained? And we here, in the so-called more privileged nation states, unconsciously mull this matter of fate. A long overdue discussion, and ours to have now in this moment, and ask ourselves this question we do. If there must be degraded hands, how can I keep my child from being one of them? But the premise is false. A crooked road down which we never should have gone. And we'll be continuing this conversation next week. I put up a second installment of Wallerstein's chapter in Does Capitalism Have a Future? It's what went before his analysis of the current situation. And I'm putting it up bit by bit, as much of it as I think is necessary for us to have this conversation of scholarship, of renouncing our body's truth. Because each of us in our individual lives, this was done to us. We were systematically shaped to be servants of state. And I hope that if we can see that this is true, we can have the certainty to reach out to each other and create the alternative to class.